All right, let's do it.
Okay, so this is March 11th, March 10th. Is it March 10th?
March
10th, thank you. So this is a meeting of the Kirby Planning Commission, and we are here to do a conditional use hearing for a short-term rental with Melissa and Nick Hall, right? Okay, so the first thing is I would really appreciate it if people would introduce themselves. So, Annie, why don't you start?
Annie Patman.
Hillary DiCarlo.
Victor Sherbrooke.
Jerry Toomey.
Tracy Sherbrooke.
Marty Etter.
Elizabeth Hubbard.
Melissa Hall, as mentioned before.
Nick Hall.
Eric Wilson.
Kristen Pagland, neighbors with Eric and Elizabeth, and I'm here with my son, who has a scouting requirement to attend a town meeting and be cogent on what goes on.
Okay.
Hello.
I hope that you get cogency out.
Welcome, brother.
Hey, Amelia.
Hi.
We're going to do a conditional use hearing first. Is that
cool? Yeah, no, I actually, is it privacy that you need?
No,
okay.
Not at all.
You're welcome to join.
So, the five the considerations for approval are, you each all have one of those, right? Elizabeth? Would anybody else like one, Willie?
Hillary, if I may, I apologize, but I'm just clarifying the procedure. The permit is disapproved upon application because short-term rentals are not approved uses.
It's conditional.
Yeah.
So that's what generates the conditional use hearing.
Right.
And then we examine the conditional use criteria.
Right. So it was, I think it's Annie and Marty that went through so much a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Did so much work around this short-term rental. So we now have pretty good guidelines.
It's gone pretty smooth, too.
It has gone pretty smoothly.
It's gone pretty smooth. Yeah.
So the first one is the capacity of existing or planned community facilities. A conditional use shall not overburden or exhaust existing or planned municipal facilities or services. I think that's pretty much.
I mean, it's already a residence, and it's going to keep being used in that way, right? So
yep,
everything's good there.
Private water, private sewer, private trash pickup.
Well, the sewer, the sewer, will that handle?
It is. I went digging. I found the original septic permit, and it's for
a four-bedroom house.
A four-bedroom house.
Nice. Perfect.
So, with no more than two people per bedroom.
Correct.
Okay. And the second one is the character of the area affected as defined by purposes of the zoning district within which the project is located, specifically stated policies and standards of the municipal plan. Where's my... I think that's not applicable either.
Nick, Melissa, perhaps you can speak to what you want from this endeavor. What do you imagine happening? What kind of rentals? What kind of people? I think the fear for a lot of folks is and has played out in communities where short-term rentals become problem houses and are fraught with all kinds of drama and police and
parties.
So please,
yes,
educate us.
I grew up coming to Burke. We have a place over on the mountain. This is a home that my uncle built 20 years ago, plus or minus, and has lived there until last May. Basically, a medical disability caused him to not be able to live there any longer on his own. So we worked out something. We wanted to keep the house in the family. So worked out something with my uncle. And we don't need two homes here, but we love the area. We love coming up. It's very easy for us because we're up here all the time to pay attention to a property like this. And so our goal is a short-term rental, mostly weekends as the seasons dictate, maybe skiers and bikers. We want to be respectful, obviously, of the neighbors. We've met all the neighbors that most of them I knew before this, obviously. But they've also kept an eye on the house in the transition period. We've been moving out and us fixing it up. So our goal is to provide a family-friendly atmosphere for people to come up and enjoy the Northeast Kingdom. And we put together, I brought a copy of it, you know, like an 8-page kind of guide to renters. We talked about it the last kind of pre-hearing, no weapons. We talked to the neighbors about whether there is access or not to the snowmobiling trails, and obviously there isn't. So we haven't advertised it as such. We will advertise, you know, proximity to the Bass trails, but I haven't been on them myself in this neighborhood to say exactly where they are. We kind of left that as go check out the website. And so,
do you have a website? Or
no, we the left it the on Bass. VRBO.
Okay.
So I'm happy to share. Obviously, we went through the entire house, soup to nuts. My uncle had done a beautiful job building the house, but it never kind of finished the inside of it. So we finished it. We furnished it. We had the chimney inspected, all new smoke detectors, fire extinguishers. We talked about the last.
Carried
it's all
the
referenced
side.
In the manual for people.
Is that a copy that we can keep? Or
absolutely. I can email you a copy for record if you'd like.
I can see the family resemblance.
It is there.
Yeah. It's there. Great. Buttercup. Nice.
It felt cheerful. It's yellow. He chose yellow, so we kind of.
That's great. Yeah. Okay. Does that answer our question?
That sounds good. Yeah. I mean, I think just from past, like, sort of same situation, like, the biggest thing that's come up is, like, communication with the neighborhood, and it sounds like you guys have a good plan for it, and, you know, like, the board really is here to, like, what's the word, you know, just help things run along, so, but if you guys are good, you know, taking care of each other, like, that's where it starts, so,
yeah.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Marty, was there a prerequisite condition on like an on-site manager or
there was
someone in the community?
So, like as we talked about on the phone, you know, like some of the issues like firearms or whatever on the property, like those aren't restrictions that we have, but those are sort of points of contention in the past. So that's why we encourage like to lay those out clearly, communicate it with your guests and your neighborhood, you know. And in those cases where there was like some issues, like we did ask for there to be a manager, like, you know, within, I forget the distance, like half hour, whatever it was, like,
yeah,
they sort of helped to arrange that, and we were just trying to help moderate. But, you know, I don't know how that works, like, because you said you guys are up a lot, so you don't necessarily need the property manager.
We used all the local guys to work on the house. My carpenter foreman I used up here, used on a couple projects. He lives over in Newark. He would be here within 20 minutes if I called him.
And I think, yeah, like, if, you know, the thing was to have, like, someone.
Community ties.
To have like, someone you can call 24/7. If there's a problem, you know, obviously not, like, call the police. Like, there's police, there's other, but, like, something like that, just so you're available if there's some issue in the neighborhood.
Yeah, we would inform me, obviously, Elizabeth. Yeah. I would hope would call us if there was ever a problem.
That's why we had that one in there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know.
Because that was, I was looking at that
mm-hmm.
earlier, and it was also noise, like outside noise for like campfires or anything like that. And
yeah.
Cut that off at 10 p.m.
Yep.
On weekends.
Yep. I think a lot of people, when they list it, they do that anyway. It's like they do quiet times when they list it.
Do you have that?
If we don't, we can certainly add it.
I mean, that's not really required, but it's,
winter,
but if you list it ahead of time, then they have less issues.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always a good thing to put on there, I think, for a quiet time. So, you know, campgrounds do it. Everybody, you know, places you stay do it quiet times. And it's useful if you lay it out there for your guests ahead of time.
Now, do you guys have questions at this point? Because you're welcome to.
Not specifically. I just wanted to come over and see what was going on. And see if anybody else had anything. I mean, I personally have no issue with it. I mean, I've been up to the house. I see what they're, I kind of knew what they were, what was going on. I can't imagine that anybody would come and rent that and be a worse person than me and my kids at my house. I mean, but, you know, I don't know. I think it's a great thing to try. And if it's a disaster or a catastrophe, I would be the first one to call you and be like, hey, I don't know what's going on up at the house. But,
yeah, we would love to call.
We would expect that.
So,
you would know that,
I think it's great that it's going to be used and maybe bring some people in to the area, and maybe they'll come over to the farm and buy some stuff from our farm stand.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Could put that,
they make that a condition.
You
could
put that on their egg.
Yeah.
Put that on your thing.
You could definitely add that because it is a great resource. Yeah.
I don't know. That's my feeling. I don't get really too worked up about things. So.
I have some questions. You know, what if there was issues, and is this like approved? Is it permanent, or is there recourse on the part of the neighbors? Because we're right above them, our driveway, their driveway borders our property, and we see that. I'm concerned about trash. We've had problems with trash in the area with renters at other places and the bears. And they come by, and so that's an issue. The trash, what's going to happen with that? Who's going to do that, get rid of that? Are dogs allowed?
We would not ask. We have no pet policy.
Okay. No pet, okay.
No pet.
But I guess, you know, we're not opposed to it, of course, but we're just concerned about noise, parties, because we heard the horror stories up on the other place there.
Right.
That's a very big concern. And what kind of recourse do we have if it's in fact approved and then it's a disaster? Is this a permanent thing, or is it it's approved for a year or two or whatever? I don't know.
Our approval is basically forever.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this, if there's a lot of issues, like, document them, you know, like, somehow.
And that's between you guys.
Well, yeah, like, but, you know, if you're like, hey, I had to call them at 11 p.m. because it was loud, something, like, let that. And then if it's a continuous, you got a couple things, send us an email at the Kirby Planning Board. And, you know, we can reach out to them and be like, listen, we're starting to get some complaints, like, we need to either, you know, adjust that, change the conditions, or consider, like, rethinking the whole, like, you know what I mean? It's ongoing. There's no end date on it, but obviously if there's issues with neighbors, like, we're here to moderate that and to.
But we've had permits issued that in the past that the town was like, hey, it's done. Nothing you can do about it. And then you got to take legal action if you wanted to, if it was that bad.
We've only started doing this since whatever.
Short-term rental
2022. It's only been 3 years on here.
You mean you've had trouble with this, Willie? Short-term?
No, with other.
Oh.
So, well, like, for example, because you're mentioning the one on Gorham Drive, right?
On what?
Gorham Drive.
Correct.
So what happened is, like, that one was already running. And there was no condition for this. It was unregulated. So what we did is, like, 3 years ago, we put in, it has to be a conditional use. because you can't make one rule that fits every person's circumstances. But it was already running like that. There was already issues there. What we did is we met, we put conditions. I know there was a lot of issues, and we tried to like get the neighbors to figure out how it was going to work in a fair way, you know? Like we were the ones that were walking them through it and saying like, okay, you have a right to this, but you also have a right to that. Where's the line? And it's best coming from the neighbors, which, as I understood, you guys already have some familiarity. That's like a plus, you know what I mean? That situation, the landowner lived farther away. There wasn't any connection to the area. You know what I mean?
This is also a conditional use. It's approved with or without conditions. So we can put conditions on this as we get feedback from people. But it would need to happen before we issue the conditional use. So if you have concerns, that would require us to put additional conditions on what they're doing. We would just need to know those up front.
I have one topic that just might, and just this would help you guys actually, but there's a rental in East Haven, and it was, you know, people who looked amazing and young and snowboarders, and there was two near overdoses. And so that was like a great example of, yeah. Like, yeah. So, but it you know, it caused lots of issues within the neighborhood. Because they were doing serial weekends. Like, in other words, yeah. They had rented it for 5 weekends or 6 weekends. And
yeah,
so,
no, that's like, obviously that's disruptive.
There wasn't
disruptive.
Anything in the regs that actually said, wow, you know, if you, you know, commit a crime, that your lease is negated. Like, there wasn't, the landlords themselves didn't have a mechanism, so then the neighbors were like, oh, no.
So, like, just to finish what I was saying there, like, since we issued that permit up there, to my knowledge, they've submitted no complaints. So, like, you were saying that it was left, it was done and it was left. I'm not aware of any complaint from there in...
He's not talking about that.
No, I know, but he said that there's some in town that, like, haven't been addressed. So, we're here. If they ever have an issue, like, they just need to tell us and we, you know, we work that out, like... That's the process so far. And I haven't heard any complaints back from that.
Right.
I'm sure there's some things, but they haven't brought it to us. So mm-hmm. It's hard for us to address that kind of thing.
But garbage is...
Garbage is... Absolutely. Obviously, bears are less of an issue in the winter, but we've set it up with the lady who will be cleaning. She'll take all the trash.
She'll take... Yeah.
So
it won't be
it's
sitting
not left
there.
Outside.
It is not. No, it is not left outside.
In the winter, we have them putting it outside, and only because then we're taking it on our way by, so we don't have to bother going inside the house. But as soon as we get past winter season, the cleaner will take it.
Stanley used to put his compost out there.
Yes.
Yes. It didn't really work well.
Eric,
we solved that problem.
I do thank you for the question. It's a good question for us as a municipality and as a board to understand that if we're issuing a conditional use permit with conditions, then what is the enforcement compliance if those conditions are violated? It is something that, as a board, you should revisit if those conditions are being violated. So if there's stipulations as to no parties, and then there are parties, there has to
be. That's probably my biggest concern is just late night noise and parties, because I know that's very likely to happen or...
How far,
in this kind of situation.
How far do you live away from 388 Locust Ridge with you? You
probably
did
80 yards.
Pardon?
80 yards. Maybe.
80 yards, okay.
They can hear everything.
Yeah.
I would just say to that, if you got wherever you guys list it, doing the quiet time hours and then putting a strict like
we have
if you violate this you may terminate your stay.
So would you be open to language in your proposal that you submitted that say that this is a family-friendly neighborhood, this is for family gatherings, this is not a party house.
Absolutely.
And they say be respectful.
They don't want partiers there either.
I don't want
partiers. I mean, if I get a neighbor, there's already a coffin neighbor, there's already a coffin.
Yeah. I mean, if there's,
we're screening, we're not.
That's our biggest concern. Yeah. It could get out of hand.
We talked about firearms and we even during the day it can be super noisy, it's
a quiet, more or less a quiet neighborhood, residential, and
that's
probably our biggest concern.
And that's your retirement home, and like to go outside, I'm sure, and enjoy the evening.
Okay, let's move on to our third one, because I'm interested in this one. Traffic on roads and highways in the vicinity. That's a private road, right?
Yes.
The estimated traffic generated by a conditional use shall not exceed the estimated volume of traffic. Well, you don't need to hear all that. So if you had 8 people there, you might have 4 cars.
Is that a fair cap?
Yes.
4 cars.
Yeah.
That's maximum.
Yeah, we could put a max on that.
There's not enough parking for more.
There's not enough parking for more.
I mean, there's a good size, but I don't have a problem limiting that.
Well, how much parking do you have? How much do you have parking for?
Depends whether you want to get out or not. I mean, it's got a decent sized turnaround on the top, but that's if nobody's parked there. So.
Okay.
It's a one-lane driveway in, one-lane driveway out. You can't park on the sides of the driveway and still get out. So I think 4 is a fair limit.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So if it's a private road, who fixes it?
The landowners all go in together. Yeah.
So that was where, that was a similar situation on a private road, Gorm Drive. Like, they made an arrangement. You know, we can't obligate any resident on that road to pay a certain amount of, like, you know, road maintenance on a private road, but we help them to sort of sort out an arrangement where, like, what are, you know, if you are getting constant traffic, like, are you helping, you know? I don't know that on a private road we can force that, but they worked out some system.
Sitting here,
right?
I could absolutely, yeah. If there was a problem with the road like there was 3 years ago, absolutely take our piece of fixing that.
Yeah, just, I mean, better we throw it out now before it becomes an issue, you know, like, and if that works or doesn't work, like, we need to kind of have a shared plan.
We obviously have a vested interest in the road being well-maintained and passable.
May I clarify how many residences are on Locust Ridge?
Well, there's... On the right-of-way... From the town road to the end is Elizabeth, us, your place, and Brian up back.
Four. Once it turns private.
Once it turns private, yeah.
Have there been...
And Catherine.
Oh.
Catherine?
She's at the end of the town road.
Okay.
Right where it ends at her driveway.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Have there been maintenance requirements that were shared in recent history?
Huge. The flood, it washed out. The whole road. Yeah, it was an ouch.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys already have a system for how you make that work?
We haven't.
No.
No, we don't.
I'm just curious. Like, you know, like, we're not trying to impose something on you, but we're just...
I don't know that...
If you have a way... Tell us, we'll try and make that the new suggestion.
We paid some for the recent repair, and we got some FEMA money. Stanley got some FEMA money that he put in. Elizabeth graded it occasionally because she's got a little...
And I had some leftover dirt or gravel or whatever that they took when I excavated for my house and used some of that in it.
It works.
I'm probably the least helpful neighbor.
But your system's like sort of as needed, like everybody kind of kicks in a little. So, okay. I mean, if we.
Had to, honestly. We haven't.
Oh, just that. That was the rare.
That happened 2 years ago.
It's the unwritten.
Yeah.
We haven't really put anything into it, but it badly needed it, so.
I see.
And it needs some more in the first half.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's where the contention was last time, is how people were supporting that.
This is not a fix up and walk away. It's an active, we're actively managing it. We're not farming it out to a agent. Mm-hmm.
It's the two of us.
It's the two of us.
So the zoning regulations, I think that is a non-entity. Utilization of renewable energy resources. Conditional use shall not excessively inhibit or restrict access to the use of renewable natural resources. I don't think that that's a problem either.
No.
So.
I would say that this is all sort of whatever conditions we're coming up with. Obviously, you can just put them on your VRBO listing.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's something we can easily confirm.
Sure.
I'm looking at it. Jerry, do you want to bring up your incendiary fireworks thing?
Oh. Well, you know, Kirby, I was just wondering, how would you feel if you put a condition on your property that if we didn't allow fireworks, because
I
of the...
I think we even have that.
I would totally agree with that.
We're surrounded by fields.
You know, mainly,
yeah, fields
mainly because of,
there.
You
I'm
know...
I'm not sure I believe that.
And a dog.
The noise, and then also, yeah. You know, we'll have a lot of dry periods where we won't have open burning where a fire pit. And then the other condition I would just like to kick out there as firearms, no shooting on the
it's
property.
In there. Yeah.
It
yeah.
is already on
yeah.
there.
Do
okay.
you have fireworks in there?
No.
Okay. That will
but that would be great.
Yeah. That's the only concerns I have.
Totally understand.
Should we just review the ones that we have then? The conditions? Because we'll have to put that in.
We'll have to put it on the.
There's the house rules right here.
Yep. I mean, I think a lot of it's already in your visitor guide.
It is.
Here.
We'll add the quiet times from.
But just to like put them on, you know, on our record, and like I said, then if there are things, we come back and.
So we'll add road maintenance.
Yeah. That'll sound good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. See, I didn't see this before.
Nice. And the rest of it will be in your VRBO.
So you're calling this House Buttercup? Are you going to require all guests to watch the Princess Bride?
It's going to be on repeat when you walk in.
So we had talked about just gun disclosure, but you decided to. No guns.
No,
no guns. Hunting. Okay.
No reason.
Okay, so the next, so we'll work up the conditional use.
Yeah, we'll write it up. Mm-hmm. And with, I don't know if you want to review the conditions or they're kind of like, for example, if we put like
road
must have a contact available. I understand that you guys already have their number, so we'll just formalize that in there, you know. It's not, but it's nothing like we haven't talked about.
Yeah, I think the quiet hours was new.
The quiet hours.
Is 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. too late for you guys? I don't know. If you told me it was 9, I don't care.
The one we did before was 11 on weekends.
How do you feel about that, Mr. Eric?
You're the closest.
I don't need 11. 10's fine. And 10
would
be
preferred.
10?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Road maintenance, fireworks, and I think that was it.
And mm-hmm. trash security.
Trash security. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Trace.
Can I ask a question on the trash security? So you said during the winter you're going to take care of it?
Yes.
And during the summer months?
The cleaning staff will.
Now, is that person there every day, or are they at the end of the rental?
At the end of the rental.
Okay,
but
so in the meantime, so if somebody's there for a week or two, okay.
Yep.
Where is that trash going? So there's three trash barrels in the kitchen.
Three pull-out trash barrels.
Three pull-out trash barrels.
There's a fairly high capacity in the kitchen.
Okay.
And so then, you're expecting your renters to keep the trash in the house the whole time?
Yeah. Bathrooms have trash cans. And then...
Because I'm just thinking, if somebody doesn't want to have all that smelly stuff in the house while they're there, they're going to be putting it outside. And then once it's outside, then it's going to attract your animals. I'm just wondering if there's a possibility
right
of
says,
putting
if,
something
if
there.
If trash is full, call me.
Okay.
You'll drive up.
No.
Well,
I'll
we have the cleaner.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, I feel like in experience, people that are staying don't usually stay there all the time, so they wouldn't come up with the trash that you or I would.
Right.
You know, because a lot of times they're gone.
Yeah, you could have pizza boxes or take out or...
Fish.
Yeah.
My thought.
Yep.
So, Aaron, will we just send the completed conditional use permit?
Findings of fact, yes.
What's that?
I usually send the findings of fact.
Okay.
You guys can do it if you want to, but.
No, that's totally fine. Okay. So, you'll do that part. So. Mary.
I just wanted to mention, I know I've heard of people in the past had outdoor trash receptacles that were bear-proof.
Yeah.
And so those were approved because they were bear-proof. And that would, like, if you didn't want to have to run the sale, keep it in because you know that the Bureau was bear-proof. Does that mean raccoon-proof? I don't know.
We tried them up at the condo, and they don't, the bears should take them and play with them.
We used an old toolbox out the back of the pickup truck. Yeah. Like the metal pickup truck toolbox. That's what we use for our trash at the house.
It's what they use in remote campsites. Bear boxes that are metal lockable, unless the bear can pick up a multi-hundred pound.
So far, so good.
Just a little.
It's real.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So you'll hear from us.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for
Thank
coming
you.
Up.
Thank you.
We don't vote on it.
What?
We could vote on it now.
I thought that's what we did.
Yeah. To issue
the conditional use with conditions
with
as
the
stated.
Conditions.
Yeah.
We've noted.
Well, yeah. Any other discussion?
Do you have any other?
I don't have any other discussion.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay.
No, I think we should just vote on it.
Motion to approve the conditional use short-term rental permit.
I can
second
with that.
Conditions, yeah. Seconded.
Got our support. Thank you.
All right, thank you for coming.
What else are you doing here tonight?
Thanks, Willie.
We're going to talk about schools.
Yep. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Sure.
That old guy back
there. I'm going to let you badmouth him. That's Marcus Etter. He's on the school board for many, many, many years, and he's...
Oh, okay. We can.
All right. Let's.
Yeah.
No, yep. It's okay.
Has everybody had a chance to look at the minutes?
I
hang
on.
You've got to be careful. You don't want
Did you get them
to become
in the...
your middle name, Jerry.
And then we can move on to the next application.
Did everybody look at it?
Were there any other comments or questions about what we just see? Is that just here for
February? On to the next part.
Okay.
Buttercup.
Did you put the minutes up, Aaron?
Pardon?
Oh, did you not have that? I didn't photocopy them, but I thought Annie sent them all through email.
She did. So that's January. But, as long as people have had a chance to read it.
Well, they're all happy out there talking. So
nice.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Second. I do. Okay, we're ready to talk about the education. We're ready to hear about education.
Well,
I'm just here to listen to hear what questions you guys have.
So how about I just get us going? So I think Well, I just want to be clear. Like, we've been, you know, we've been working on the town plan for, this is my second time doing it, right? And it's always like forward-looking. So we're just asking questions about where is it going, right? Like development, you know, and that's all. And I think one factor that we need to consider is, you know, how school does attract families to Kirby, because that does change development, you know. So that's kind of the angle I see us coming at it from, like, as far as what our work has been. And I would like just better clarity on
numbers.
Our numbers, because it's just hard to pull our numbers out in the whole district's data, you know. And, like, I think that would help us all to better understand how we should be planning for this, you know. I don't know if anyone else wants to.
I'm interested in specific numbers for sure.
I mean, they're in the town.
It's 144.
Yeah, it's 140, which is a jump, and it's also a jump for, I think, Guildhall, and there was one other town that had a big jump.
East Haven,
thank you.
Yeah.
It's relatively exponential jump. It's not just a small jump. So that was what I was, when Scott Campbell stood up. Brought that up. They didn't really have an answer, but.
Yeah, like how much has it grown?
Our numbers as a district across the board have held pretty good. I mean, we've had towns that have increased quite a bit. Kirby's been relatively consistent in terms of the numbers of students that we've had in school. 130 students, 140 students. The other towns have increased. East Haven has increased since they joined, since we formed back in 7, 8 years ago. We did a 46 consolidation. They've jumped quite a bit. They were at maybe 10, 12 students. Now they're 40 some students, 30, 40s.
Can you tell us, like, so we've been around 130 or one somewhere in there, you said?
I think we've been a bit higher than 150.
Like, is that going back to like 10 years ago or? Do you know how many, how long has it been at 130 or roughly?
That's a good question. I don't know how many years to go back. I would say since COVID, since we joined and since COVID, there's been a pretty steady increase. COVID came and everything's lifted up quite a bit.
Where would we find, like, the numbers of, like, how many students in Kirby over?
I can get that for you.
Okay.
Do we have a copy of the town report?
But is it just for Kirby, or it's for the whole?
No, I know the number of students per town.
Oh, yeah, like, that's kind of, like, that's the trend that we want to understand, is, like.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of variables in that, in looking at the future. I think most people are aware that the state has visions for changing education and where that's going to play out for us and how that's going to impact what's going on. It's going to be hard to say.
I understand that.
From the three major parties that are involved in it. So,
yep.
I would say for a couple of years until something drastic happens, which is where everybody seems to be looking to, it may hold where we're at. It may go up slightly. It's going to take 2 or 3 years for a major change to be implemented. If we were to be split, our district was to be split up, which is one of the plans, and we go to the St. J. area. I don't know what that's going to be defined as choice. I mean, it could still include the choices that we had. There's been conversations about those districts being formed, putting constraints on the numbers of schools within a given district could only be so many, so I don't know if that would be opportunities in the same fashion that it has. So it's kind of hard, you know.
So
it's pretty hard to predict what's going on.
No, I totally understand.
I would say that for the couple of years before those changes are implemented, I would say that we're going to stay in the Kirby should stay at a fairly level.
So what I'm looking for, I think, or what I think we're looking for is, it is hard to predict it, and like you said, there's very many variables. So what we really need is we need to look at the trend of the past 10 to 20 years and see how has our numbers changed, because that would tell us information about how the town has developed, how it's grown, and that would help us understand, like, do we think it's going to come to an end or, you know, flatten off? But like you said, it's hard to predict, but we just need to look at the historical data first.
And left the town Kirby, I think, when the point we were at in Kirby, it was probably 80 to 100 some students. I think when we, you know, when things got bigger, it continued to climb a little bit. I think you could go back. It's been a fairly steady number of students. I mean, I'll pull that up.
Yeah, I think it would actually be a good graphic to have in the town plan. Certainly. To be like, you know, here's how it's changed over, because we're not just doing this so we make up our mind about it. Like, no, we want to present information and then have people see, like, here's the trend or whatever it is.
It's no different than getting census numbers.
Yeah, and then here's where, like you said, there's potential to go flatten, go up.
I also think that it's changed. I think that when you do that, those numbers are going to give you some guidelines, but I think it's important that you have some context around those. So a narrative that would address, like, when we were ECSU and we were our own district and we had our own contracts with schools, where that was at and some of the problems we were faced with there. Even within that framework of the years we sent kids to Kirby, we had issues where we were paying a state average and contracts were for a long period of time, and then we negotiated a shorter period of time, and then we started paying a little bit more. So, I mean, some of those variables would help you understand some of those numbers much better in terms of that. And in terms of projecting, some of those scenarios are going to be important to know, to put some validity and some understanding to the numbers that you're looking to, you know, judge on how things may have been.
Isn't it also likely to be true, and I'm kind of just supposing here, but as long as Kirby maintains choice, has the opportunity for families to choose schools for their kids, whatever parameters there are on that, Kirby's going to continue to attract young families, right? And it's going to attract as many young families as there are houses at local affordable rates for sale, right? Not second home prices, but... Mm-hmm. And so isn't it kind of dependent on, like, how much... And this is the work you guys do, but, like, we would have more students if there were more property for sale.
So, well, can I...
Yeah, I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing. I'm not putting any judgment on it. No. I'm just saying, like, if you can divide Kirby up into 5-acre lots, there would be that many young families and that many more students.
Yeah, I think that's where we look at it, is if people can't do that, then do we need to change the lot size? Like, that's a planning board issue. That's mm-hmm. We're not like, take away school choice.
No, I understand.
That gets thrown out, and people get all defensive, and no one here is take away school choice.
I totally understand that.
I just want to clarify, like, again, our angle is, can we get the demographic information on how the population's changed? Because that would help with planning development. Can we, personally, I don't even need to see the numbers yet. I'd like to see the demographics of population first, right? Then school, cost of school is complicated. Like, maybe the school board puts out a thing about that. You know, I think also Kirby residents want to know more about Kirby and not only about the district. Because some of those towns are like one student, and mixing them in, it drastically confuses the formula. So we would maybe like... And I'm not.
One of those towns is zero students.
It's just very hard when we talk district. Right. We're not talking school choice. We're just
the other thing that goes with
demographically.
I just wanted to clarify that what Kirby was forever was kids who lived in Kirby had choice of what school to go to. I wanted to say it before she left, but I made a mistake raising my hand. It didn't attract young families. Like, we weren't a hub attracting young families for decades. It was just Kirby.
Right.
And there was not very much transition or growth, but there was choice for the kids who lived in Kirby. If we're going to be a hub that's attracting young families, then I think we need to look at what that's somewhat of a transient population then. Not transient meaning, you know, here for 2 months, but transient meaning here for 6 or 8 years.
It's an eight-year rental.
It totally changes or eight-year ownership, whatever. But yeah, and if we're going to be, if we are heading towards being a transient population, then that has to be planned for very differently than if it's a town of people who live here for the decades.
And is that a major change?
Is there that much turnover in homes in terms of sale?
Excellent question.
That's where we're trying to figure it out.
You could go back into town records and see. I mean, if you look at the size of the land lots, when we came here back in the early 80s, it wasn't a ton of land out there. It was still a lot of big acreage that were connected to farms, landowners that were logging or whatever. And that has shifted as, you know, that's in the 80, early 80s. So that shifted going into the 90s. Things change. You've got a population that can't manage the farms. So those things have changed. So I think when you're looking at the numbers demographically and where we've evolved from, I think those are really key components. You look at the population. But what was the age of the population? What was the population doing? How did they make their livelihood? I mean, that's changed drastically in this whole area. Yeah. You can't not bring some of that information into any type of projections on what you're doing. You had manufacturing plants out here through the 90s.
Well, that is in the plan. It does speak to a little history of it, so there is some of that. And like I think, like you said, you know, you're looking at the number of farms has gone down
a lot
just in 5 years, just in 10 years. That land's maybe going to get divided up, and then we're looking at another increase of like residents moving in. You know, so we're just trying to plan ahead.
No,
so we need the data up to now, and then try and base our predictions on what we see. You know,
if there are a significant number of houses that are cycling, flipping constantly, and neighboring communities, and I know this has happened on a few occasions, I don't know how many, but if there are neighboring communities that are essentially using Kirby to send their children not to their municipal schools but into Kirby so that Kirby has choice so that then they can go to independent schools, and then when they're done with that, they're gone.
Then
the house flips and it cycles. And so if that's recurring a lot, it's an enormous problem for Kirby in terms of the educational cost.
Deb, that was one of the things she was saying. That's the PSUB where it says domicile. They have to domicile. I know St. Jay has that because people do that with Danville to go to the academy. And they require domicile, and you have to prove domicile. Waterford has dealt with that for years, and it's the same thing. And the schools know whether you're in that town and actually will come forward to the board and say, this person's not domicile.
And I think there are people domiciling. How do you say it? Domicile?
Domicile.
But still, it is a slow but constant turnover. And it will make a big difference.
Yeah.
It has to be planned for.
Because I'm not aware of, like, maybe that at our end, I'm not seeing that. So maybe it's a lot more on North Kirby. Have you guys had a lot of flipping at home?
I mean, it's not a flip overnight.
No, but
I've been very aware of families that I've known that moved in and their children went to Riverside. I actually would think at first that they were Kirby neighbors. It's like, well, this is cool. But then at a certain point, they sold and moved away. And they moved in. And that cycle, I know three people who were engaged in that. Not numbers. And maybe I just am lucky enough to know a few of the people who did that, and it's not that big a thing.
I think that's why the numbers would be really, really interesting to know the numbers because I have seen people building and purposefully purchasing and building.
For school choice,
but I mean, they're here to stay. They're not they're Vermonters who wanted to be both the choice. They like Kirby. So I know three families who have done over the 12 years. well, some bought homes where someone passed away, and then some don't.
Well, Kirby had a school, which he did. That was the focus of the community. And that, he started this year, choice and non-choice. You still had kids in South Kirby going to Waterford, the school going there. You had kids going to Newville. You had kids going to St. Jay's. So the ability to centralize the community has dissipated, regardless of whether we add Riverside to Riverside. With the choice concept has been a drawer of people that look for situations that work for their kids. I think you probably remember we had a big 200, you know, 100 some people in this hall when we had the idea of getting rid of choice and trying to start a school was brought up because people were tired of paying the amount of money we were paying at the time to Riverside. And it was ironic that one of the persons who had run into problems in the school they were in, one of the starter school where they lived in a situation where whatever wasn't working for them, they had options. You start a school, you run one school, and you're in it, and not every school accommodates every kid. I mean, there's a lot of issues that can come up. You don't have much leverage. You deal with that. Whereas with choice, we offered that. We offered you a chance to find an education for your kid with Waterford, with St. Jay, with Lindenville, with Riverside. Right. Had a school. So that was a big draw. I think, you know, a lot of it went right to Riverside. That was a big issue, and I think people stood behind that back then. But that has decentralized this community. So yeah. I don't know, regardless of what you do for school, I mean, if you took that community at Riverside, and that was the hub, and they had the school here, you'd have a community.
We would.
And there's a community of people that have common interest in doing it. So I don't know how you recover that. Without a school, I don't know how you recover a central community in your town without that attraction of a school that brings a lot of people in the community together.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's definitely a challenge. When I look at the schools that we were talking about, you look at Guild Hall, they closed their school, we were back starting this thing when they were closing that school. They went down to zero kids in school for a year, and they're back up to 42, and they don't have a school. They don't have much choice. But a lot of people from New Hampshire have moved into that town because they want to be able to go there, and they're willing to pay the tax rate that we pay in Vermont in order to have their kids. So it's hard to know what is going to attract people and what doesn't. Those people work in New Hampshire. They don't want to live in New Hampshire. So
where do those Guild Hall students go?
Lancaster School.
Lancaster.
There's a couple of odd ones I think that can get down there. Guild Hall has but, you know, most people can't make that work. A lot of people that we talked to when we had a forum recently were telling how if they had to take their kids to St. Jay Academy to go to high school and they lose going over to White Mountain Regional, which is about a 15-minute ride for them, they're not going to be able to keep that going. They just don't have the resources to do it. So it's an ironic.
Do you need help getting all those numbers? I would like to get the numbers showing where our kids go.
Time,
but like, because you're talking about the whole district, but to be able to pick out just where Kirby kids go over the past 10 years.
20.
20 years. Do you have all that? Or is it on file here?
Well, it would be
in
the town report.
No.
Sure.
They just said 20 years.
Well, I think it's important to see that. But it does point out what Kirby had then in terms of the town and where we moved to. And I think that's your concern.
That's fine. The longer back, the better. You know, it's data.
So do you need help getting those numbers together in an organized manner?
When's your next meeting?
It's the second Tuesday.
I think just one thing, though, is like you said that it wasn't centralized, but like 20 years ago, they used to drop a tree and you couldn't drive over the mountain. So it's not like any kid on that side of Kirby was going over here, you know, like that. They used to put a tree down.
There was a South Kirby.
And that's it. So I don't know, like, it never has been. That's why there's like Mud Hollow School, South Kirby School, right? But like, there's more traffic now because you can drive, and there's more mud now, and there's more road damage now, and that's taxes, education, and roads. And so that's where development becomes Another key issue, because that's what we spend money on, is roads.
I just want to say, I have to say, if somebody can pass on to John, like, these roads should have been horrible coming over. I know when we first moved here, trying to come on multiple days that were mushy like this, it would have been impassable. He's got that arch going, and it is raining. It is amazing. So
he is amazing.
I remember getting stuck, so I was expecting it, and I was like, wow. So.
I think one thing along with schools and education and young families coming here is the fact that what do we do for the people who have been in this town for 40, 50 years, 30 years? What do you do for taxes? I mean, taxes are going to keep going. I know we had a veteran that came in here one year who was having a hard time making it. We offered that individual some kind of tax break. So I don't know if there's any way of even legal to consider that. If you've got people who've been here 40, 50 years, is there a way to minimize their tax outcome? No, I've always thought that.
We're 30 years.
Lived and died here.
And we don't think we can afford it.
Yeah, because if you take that tax burden off of those people, it's just going to add to the younger people's tax burden, right? I mean, somebody's got to pay the taxes to make up the difference.
Right, but they're moving here. So if that's a given factor, they're moving into this place, taxes are up, and they get a tax break to the older people, but they want to move here. I mean, I don't know. It's a trade-off. You want people to stay. You want people to come in. You don't want to be forced out. You don't want to force them out.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just a point of...
Yeah.
Does the planning board have any ideas?
How you can manage to allow people who spent their whole life here maybe a way to maintain being here versus...
I'd like to hear if the planning board has any ideas.
But then we'll have a bunch of people that just hit whatever age moving here to get less taxes.
You know, one of the things...
No, you have to have lived for a certain
kids.
Period of time.
Yeah, I mean, what are...
School taxes.
Because otherwise it'll be like, all right, 75, I'm moving to Kirby, no taxes.
What else are you saying?
You have to pay taxes for 30 years.
In order to live.
You're 75, you're going to have to pay 105.
We've done that.
They've only been here for a year.
You know, the other thing, though, is that I think... As a taxpayer who's been here for 30 years, we never had children. I believe in education more than anything. And I've always voted for it. But now we're retired. And the other thing is that there's a lack of community in this town. There's a lack of people who are willing to do things to have a community. And that frustrates me. That really does. I mean, we sent out a survey, the planning committee did, to get some feedback about, we got 50 surveys back, and some people thought that was great.
Can I just add in here? So I heard about the survey, and I was like, how did I miss it?
Tax bill.
So thank you.
Yep.
So I then
it was
asked,
the wrong thing to
hold
do.
Hold on. It was actually a great idea to organize people. However, what I did was what my neighbors did, because I was like, did you get the survey? My daughter and I are going through all our paperwork. She's like, here it is. So we did the same thing. We knew that our tax bill was going to explode. And so we did all the same things. Like, I opened it, I looked, I was like, okay.
And you set it aside.
I am not looking at it anymore. I know the escrow is going up. And that is actually what Jennifer Wood did. It's what Bill Wolf did. Like, I was asking around. We all did the same thing. And it wasn't because we wouldn't have answered it. It was because we were dreading that tax bill, and we literally set it aside.
I totally get it.
Organized people go through all their mail.
I totally get it. I thought of that when we sent it out that way.
It was actually a really good idea because it would reach everybody.
That was because of expense.
Yeah.
We have nothing to put into it.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have money.
Yeah.
And we're all volunteers.
Yeah, I realize that. But,
yeah.
And I'm not criticizing.
I totally get it.
I understand people did not purposefully not answer that. A lot of them never got to it.
I am Alex. I just want to say just about the community thing. Like, I, you know, as a, you know, very new resident here, like last, say, 6 years, like, we're like the new people. We're the new people who aren't doing anything. We're the new people who are not, like, you know, creating the community or whatever. But, like, all I know is, like, you know, I come, this is my experience. We love it here. We have kids at Riverside, whatever.
you know, I come to town meeting day, right, and I try to meet people, and I've met people, and then I see the people I know from Kirby who go to Riverside, because that, as we've talked about, is sort of
the
de facto hub. But I just want to, I guess, sort of forcefully reject the idea that, like, there's somehow, like, a lack of community, like, because of the people in the community, and we're just not, it's like, we don't have a school, and, like, I'm not aware of any events I've missed. Do you know what I mean? I'm now coming to this, but in terms of, like, I think I would love to be part of something that attempts to create community, and I think part of community is welcoming newcomers, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, for example, yeah. I know people in Lindenville who said to me, hey, you're a lawyer, can you be in the Linden downtown redevelopment, whatever, and I said yes, so I'm on that thing, because people knew me, and they asked, and I said yes. And my experience in Kirby, and I love Kirby, and I want to be more involved, is that I haven't seen, like, I've come to the annual meeting, and I know, like, anecdotally, I hear and I believe that there are, like, you know, gaps in the planning commission or whatever, and then they want people to fill them up. But by the time I get to the town meeting, it seems like that's sort of been hammered out, and it's like someone nominates somebody, and it's like, yes, nominated, accepted, and I'm sitting there, I don't know anybody, so I'm like, okay, it sounds like that's a done, you know. So I would just say...
I nominated and second him for anything.
No, I would just, I would just say, like, the one thing that I have to, to the extent that we don't have community, which may well be true, and you all know much better than I do, it's not because, like, the people who are here don't want community.
Right.
It's not because the new people don't want community.
Yeah.
It's because, for whatever reason, we aren't finding a way, and maybe we are, to gather as a group. So I would just say it's not about, like, what's happened today.
I totally hear you.
Okay.
I just, we do have a community happening this year as a result of our last town meeting. Nelia has volunteered to do some community. Nelia, who is a single parent and has no time at all. So we need to get behind her to do that. And so we can do that. But this is, yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Just I wanted to respond.
Yeah, I hear you totally, Alex. I absolutely do.
I would like to add also
that we have been here for 30 years, and we're not sure if we can make it because of taxes.
Right. Separate issue. I agree.
Separate issue indeed.
So I think that's all determined by the state of Vermont. It's not the formula that the town of Kirby can change.
Yeah. Anyway.
So is it worth asking? Is it worth it?
Veterans Convention.
So
what were you saying, Mary?
When our the Veterans Convention, it's $10,000.
We had value
4-H still in the towns for decades after the schools changed. And that served as at least one hub that there were, and I know there was one in North Kirby and one in South Kirby. And there were seasonal things. You know, there was a harvest dinner where kids would cook for whatever grown-up wanted to come. There were the kids got involved, and adults, in green-up days, which now you still take care of advertising, but because of group. There was going and singing. So there was a lot of seasonal activities to all the neighbors close by that were organized by 4-H. The people who were running it got old. And there was nobody there who stepped up to run it in a big way. That's a big statement, I know. That's not always true. But I do believe that can happen without a school, that there can be amazing community events. I haven't seen in the I wonder sometimes, is it just a change in society overall that 40 and 30, 40, 50 year olds aren't interested in doing that anymore? You know, like
they're busy.
It's
they're working.
I was busy and working when I was 30 and 40.
No, I know, but
I was working two jobs and I still did that. So I hear that, but is it a change in values, a perception, in what? But the people who used to keep those community get-togethers going
the yard sale, the fun activities are old.
Well, we used to,
and it needs like somebody.
We used to have a Kirby Community Action Council, and we did a lot of the activities through that. Alex, I think what we're also suffering from is the old guard and the new guard, and I say that as the old guard. And I certainly had massive energy for doing stuff for this town when I was younger and I had kids. When you want somebody to do something, ask a busy person. So I think there is some division, and I will say that I'm very happy to meet you. Very happy to meet you.
Scout leader.
I have gotten to know some of my neighbors.
And I'm here because you invited me.
And it's nice to get to know people because I will admit, when I was driving over here, I said to myself, I used to know every single person in this town.
I know.
I used to know who they were and where they lived. And I don't know that anymore. And that's on me. But I will say it also only takes one person to decide they're going to do something and have an event and hold it. Aaron's always very happy to loan out the town hall for whatever activity and has addresses so we can get, you know, messages to people. There's a Kirby community page that I started that we could put something on. It's just, I don't think it's that difficult. But when you don't know everybody, it can be a little bit daunting to do something like that. And I certainly think about that a lot. I think about the fact that we need community activities. They don't have to be fancy. They can be a potluck. They could be a square dance. And we used to do a lot of those here. Believe it or not, we used to fit a lot of people into this little square with a square dance band up on the stage. And we had community. I will also say that when we lost the schools that we had here, we lost community. And it was hard for people. But we still came together for harvest suppers and things like that. So I think that is sort of dwindled over the years because of the age of the group that knew everybody and used to do. Do you live in a new house in town, or do you live in a...
I live in
the Breen's.
Carol Breen's old house.
Yeah, okay, so people would probably still say that. Oh, you know the old Carol Breen place? So, I'm sorry, but we do that
yeah,
still.
No, that's why, yeah.
You know, so, I don't know that we have answers regarding how to bridge some of those gaps, but I really do think it just takes a small group of people who want that to make it happen. And I'm certainly willing to be a part of that because I've done it before and I feel like, I got to know some lovely people. We decided to do a little bit of food pantry here. I got to know Lynn Eikenberry and Ginger Coughlin, and I already knew Anita, but I got to know her a little better. And it just takes a few people and you can start driving some change. And I think Kirby is full of people who want that. It's just that there's some division of a generational...
But absolutely no blame.
That doesn't really... It's not something we can really address in the planning board, except
we're a little bit
task
off
topic. Community Action Council with that.
We can try. Yeah. I mean, getting information out and all that's good.
So, anyway, we're a little bit off topic.
Yes.
Martin, you're going to get us the... Miles. Marty, Mary. It's the M's. You're giving
they
us
They named
a
me. I had no part in this. Victim.
Miles, you're going to get us some numbers.
Yes, I'll have the stuff for you next week.
Okay, thank you.
Aaron, may I inquire who the town agent is?
Used to be Clark Atwell.
Still is.
Clark Atwell.
Is it worth asking Clark if it's legal to create a tax structure like 30 years 10% rebate?
Yes.
is it even legal to pursue that?
Yeah, because that
probably won't take a long say no.
Because that does flip the burden onto
it does you know. Flip the
but
burden.
But if you said maybe
this is the nature of economics and it speaks to the question
I guess
of okay
the question is where would it be pumped? Because town still needs the money.
It's,
and if we're not getting it from
It goes back in. It would be some sort of like Lister card requirement that if you're 30-year residency, then the bill goes down, and then that obviously gets pushed onto the other 90%.
And you have to be on planning commission for 30 years. Right?
That
was for 12. Oh, my gosh. Nobody wants that, Hillary.
Okay, so anybody else? Are we?
Thank you, Planning Board, for bringing up these questions and being a place even where... Is your name?
Alex.
Being a place where you can bring up your question, because just having the questions and the ideas brought up, I think we've talked about, is the beginning. So thank you.
And we would love to, in the future, have an attorney on the planning board. Sometimes that's very
Do you
helpful.
Want to be the town attorney?
We'll see. Yeah, you know.
He's like,
well, we meet every month, and it's public meeting, so you don't have to be officially, you know, you can come in and discuss.
Oh, you mean the select board?
Zoning planning. If you want, I'm saying, you can always come and chime in.
They're not very exciting right now because we're working on this agenda that should have been done a year ago.
Are you kidding me? This thing is riveting.
Don't downplay our committee.
Well, we're very glad
to
have you.
If you do want to, it's open, and you can see how it is, and if it worked out sometime.
And we have your face in our memory, just in case we need planning committee members. Yes?
Next meeting, April 7th.
That's right. So you're going to be off.
Eventually,
I think that was it, no? Next meeting and adjourn.
Just going to put it out there, though. I've been here 16 years, in case you guys are all wondering. No, in the town of Kirby, 16 years.
Yeah. I mean, Clark is our current.
We'll keep workshopping.
As you should. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because I'm so old.
No, I didn't say so old.
Yeah. So
nice to meet you. I mean, I can't be here longer than you if I'm younger.
Yeah.
Are you
ill? Yeah.
Great.
I was.
In the calendar?
Yes. No, I wasn't saying all this today.
Check.
And don't forget to green up.
Long drive.
Yes. Isn't that May? Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, basically, we can start now.
We're going to. We got to bring this back. I think we're going to end this.
All right.
Do we have a motion?
Do you want to?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
A motion.
Do it. Second.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Good.